garden, and God says, what the heck happened? I'll do my God voice. What happened here? And Adam says, well, the woman you gave me, he passes the buck.
Yeah, right.
Right,
yeah.
Right away, he just passes the buck. Well, the woman you gave me, and what's interesting about that is God doesn't say, be responsible for your own actions. Instead, he turns to the woman. He's like, he goes, well, okay, that sounds reasonable. Hey, Eve. So Adam passes the buck successfully. That's my point. And then Eve, he says, what is this that you've done? Eve says, well, the serpent came. Instead of God telling Eve, be responsible for your own actions. That's what we hear in Christianity today, these psychic words or whatever you call them.
Right.
You know, right. Eve says, well, the serpent. So God says, well, that sounds reasonable. And he turns to the serpent. So everybody's successfully passing the buck. It goes from Adam, well, Eve did it. Okay. Eve, well, Satan did it. Oh, okay. Satan, you're going to crawl on your belly for the rest of your life. I just think that's fascinating. And actually, Paul does that in Romans 7 when he says, it's sin making its home in me. I always thought that was interesting. It's like, well, I'm not. It's no longer me who's affecting it. It's sin making its home in me. Capital S. So I thought that's interesting. So we're really giving everybody ultimately a pass because we're mortals, we're sinning, and none of us are directly really responsible for our own actions. We're accountable.
Accountable.
Not
big
responsible.
There's
a big difference. So we're back in the Super 8 in Imlay City. Actually, we've never left.
Yeah.
We're doing these shows one after another for you. We're doing this for you. And we're getting the biggest kick out of this. If you can see us now, we're like a couple little kids here drinking this crappy coffee from Super 8. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. The life of evangelists and teachers is not a glamorous life.
It's not a glamorous life. All right. We're talking about a controversial verse that is misunderstood, and we're trying to help you understand it.
And I asked the question yesterday about Little Women in 2 Timothy 3 and what it meant. That's where we left off.
Yeah, this is called in the Greek diminutive.
It's a term of contempt,
it's
actually.
A term of contempt.
Oh, the Apostle Paul used a term of contempt, Mr. Zender?
Oh, no. He's just so mean.
That
doesn't
wasn't
he
very
know
Christian
it's an era of grace?
That wasn't very Christian of him.
How dare he? It's an era of grace. But he's very concerned for the truth, and he's always defending it, and he's very sensitive of anything that would lead away. And,
right.
And we said yesterday that Satan uses, in the garden, I'm sorry, Satan attacked the woman when the man was off on a banana gathering expedition.
Something like that. And for the, we just to read our verse again, verse 6 of 2 Timothy 3, for of these are those who are slipping into homes and are leading into captivity little women, heaped with sins, being led by various lusts and gratifications, always learning, and yet not at any time able to come into a realization of the truth.
The one thing really shocking about Clyde's book is that he's looking at sin in 2 Timothy, and he's always seeing it in the sphere of religious sin.
I agree.
And that's groundbreaking. That gives you a whole new understanding of 2 Timothy.
And you know, the other thing we should make a comment, too, is that when we think of this word sin, we usually associate it with some kind of church thing. You know, people usually associate sin with what a church says a sin is. But the word sin simply means to miss.
To miss the mark.
And so when you start thinking about it that way, it doesn't matter what kind of sin we're talking about. In Paul, where is the mark being missed here in 2 Timothy? Well, it's a religious sin. It's the missing the mark when it comes to God and an understanding of God, because that's what's happening here. There's a leading away. Paul is warning in this letter about those who turned away from him.
That's right.
And his message. And so the mark that's being missed here is the truth for the present era.
Yeah, and if we follow that context, it says, these are those who are slipping into homes, leading into captivity, little women heaped with sins, being led into various lusts and gratifications. Well, let me stop there for a second. There we go again.
Most people stop there, period.
Yeah, most people stop there. But what comes next, right after that, explains everything. But I want to look at this lusts and gratifications for a second, because the word lust is almost universally thought to be sexual lust. And there's nothing in this context that would lead anybody to believe that it's sexual lust.
No, it's not.
And gratifications, and those who are look up at verse 4, Dan, gratification, their own gratification rather than fond of God.
Exactly.
It's the human gratification to do something for God, to do something epic for God, or to become a paragon in one's own estimation of spiritual prowess.
And right after that, having a form of devoutness yet denying its power. So the gratification has something to do with their form of devoutness.
Yeah.
It has something to do with a religious thing. And you say, you know, I don't know if I'm going ahead of you here, but it says these women are heaped with sins, being led. This is the thing that drives them by various lusts and gratifications. And notice that. And then the next, the comma's there, but it's the same thought, always learning, and yet not at any time able to come into a realization of the truth. One of the characteristics of this thing, these led away by various lusts and gratifications, is they're never satisfied.
Yeah.
Always learning. Well, what is this about? Think about this.
I know, learning is the key word there.
What is this about? Learning what?
Learning what?
Is the question.
Yeah.
And you can't escape. The issue here is a form of devoutness. So it's something connected with a religious lust and gratification.
Yeah, that's what I have here. I have these two things are bookends. The little women heaped with sins with various lusts and gratifications. That's bookended by a form of devoutness in verse 5 and forever learning in verse 7. So verse 6 is the bologna and the sandwich. And the bread is, on either side of this, a form of devoutness and always learning. This is a religious context. You can't divorce this from its context.
No.
And they're led away. They're led by who? Who's slipping in the homes? Can I read a comment from James Corum?
Mr. Corum.
Mr. James Corum writes concerning this led away, and I think this is very important. In Unsearchable Riches, Jim Corum says, whatever Paul directly had in mind here, we know that there are those today who often slip into the home through the media, if not in person, who lead people captive into their particular systems of religious bondage. The reference there is Ephesians 4:14. Although by no means to the exclusion of men, it is especially little women, those of diminutive character and perception, who are captured. I think the big point there I want to make is through media. Women love these church shows. Not always women, but I'm sorry, but
that's a fact.
It's a fact.
Yeah, and it's not a sign of intelligence. It's a sign of deception.
Yeah, those of, listen to Corum, diminutive character and perception. So it's a very small perception
and it's
power.
Almost like, you know, Nicole, Clyde used this phrase in his book, religious groupies. They're the ones who think they have this religious fervor and that they're the God's defenders of a truth and all that is holy. And they're like, I love the term religious groupies. How many of these people are religious groupies? They pick the latest fad in Christendom. They join churches and leave churches. They go from here to here because they're always trying to something. If truth was the issue, they wouldn't have gone to the church in the first place or left it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to a system that's contrary to the Word of God, the church system, period.
Yep, period.
Period.
Yeah.
And because they're led away by various lusts and gratifications, and they're never satisfied. That's why they're always looking for the new thing, the prayer of Jabez crap, and all this other nonsense stuff. And I've dated myself there because that's how little I pay attention to Christianity.
Yeah.
But the point is, they're led away by this kind of stuff, And Corum makes a comment here that it's little women, you know, but not to the exclusion of men.
Yeah.
How many men are led away like little girls into religious systems because they can't run their homes.
Exactly. They're led away by their wives. It's a repeat of Eden. When you look at it, it's a repeat of Eden.
Yeah.
The man's away. The woman gets seduced by media coming into her home, slipping into her home. And I think television is huge here. Right now, you know, you mentioned the prayer of Jabez, and you were behind the times there. I mean, I joke about Joel Osteen all the time, but yeah. I'm sorry, this guy is slick.
Yeah.
And this megachurch setting, all the thing, it's very attractive to people.
I have never once in all my time on Facebook have seen one man post something about Joel Osteen. Every woman, every post I've seen about him, and I've seen always by some woman, they're led away to this guy. There's something
away.
That appeals to them.
Yeah, he's slipping into homes. He is slipping into homes through the media, and these women are being led away by lusts and gratifications. It's a lust for this slick religious packaging, and it's the gratification of the women want to lead the homes.
Yes.
Now, I know women are powerful, and I know they're beautiful, and I know they're smart. That's not the issue. The issue is, as you say, not whether one person's better than another person. That's not the issue. It's that these divine roles are given because of certain characteristics that each gender has, certain strength. Each gender has a strength. Each gender has a weakness. And a woman's weakness is being seduced by sound and light. And if you look at what Satan did, there's, I forget what passage is, every action. There's the Greek elements of, we'll have to look at this for the next show, but if you analyze the details of how Satan deluded Eve, and it says specifically Adam was not deceived.
Right.
Eve was deceived.
He went in wide, eyes wide open.
He went in eyes wide open. He went in because he loved her, you know. Mm. And so, but let's go back to the men.
Yeah.
A great passage from Clyde here in his book that we're studying, The Church in Ruins, on page 97, Clyde says, "Thus, with the husband's silent abdication of their God-given responsibility, with the husband's silent abdication of their God-given responsibility, the wives are drawn as silly groupies to these organized religious knowledge fests."
Lovely phrase. Great.
Knowledge fest.
Knowledge
fest. Yeah. Alas, after all their learning, they are never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. It's even worse than that. They're coming to a knowledge of the falsehood.
Yeah, think about this. All this time they spend watching these preachers and these shows and reading these books, and yet there's an absolute total ignorance of God, Christ, Paul's message, the issues of death, resurrection, salvation, vivification. None of this stuff is known.
Right.
There's a constant learning. There's always this new fad. And let me just say this to the men.
Do it.
If you're run by, if you're, and especially those who, I'm taking it, most people listening believe our message. But how many even who believe our message are run by their wives who believe this message?
Mm.
This should not be. It is absolutely, it is almost sick to see a guy who refuses to do stuff because of the way his wife feels.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of gently and lovingly instructing and helping, they allow them to determine the future and the associations and stuff like that. And it's a sad thing when men don't take their role just to so-called maintain peace.
Exactly. Maintain peace. That's key. They think they're maintaining peace. And because this is an era of grace, they're going to show grace and be nice.
Yeah.
And but we know specifically of instances where the men have abdicated in this way, and things have not gone well.
And the encouragement is to those also who believe this message of Paul. Allow your husband to be the man God created him to be in the roles in Scripture. Follow the roles in Scripture. God isn't wrong. You know what I'm saying?
God
gives instruction for the home, follow it. And I think it's better to have a real peace than a false peace.
On that happy note, we'll be back.